broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that I refuse to use. No doubt continues now. This is the broadcast for June 9th. In the year of our Lord, 2021, this is Hour 2 of 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers, ladies and gentlemen. A little interesting tidbit. I don't know if you know this, but the internet broke yesterday, but they say now it's mostly back. Multiple websites went down in a massive outage. I guess it was cloud services company Fastly. I guess it's called Fastly. And I guess it was kind of a disaster, they say. And I thought I'd bring that to your attention. If you're wondering and you had internet problems, that what was going on. Let's see. Believe it or not, it even affected CNN and other huge sites is the thing. It wasn't just like, hey, a few people went down. They say numerous websites were unavailable on Tuesday after an apparent widespread. Wow. A widespread outage. CNN couldn't be reached. Many other websites couldn't be reached that are huge. I don't even understand it. The New York Times, CNN, Amazon, Twitter, Target, I mean, it goes on and on and on. Fastly acknowledged a problem just after 6 a.m. They said that it was tied to content delivery services is what kind of took them down or whatever else. I don't really understand enough about Fastly because I haven't researched it, but I find it interesting that the internet broke and mostly now it's back, they say. How does that happen so in such a massive way or whatever you want to call it? I don't know, man, because I don't see why so many companies depend on Fastly. But there you have it. I thought I'd bring that to your attention because a lot of people, you know, things went down and they don't really understand what happened, right? Anyway, they say Bitcoin's value melted down too, meaning the value declined over 10%. Now, they want you to believe that relates to the government's involvement. We'll get to that later. But all I'm telling you is it's very interesting how all these things kind of are interdependent nowadays. Everything is dependent on just a few little trigger points. Then the whole world goes down, you know, a little virus and the whole world just panics for over a year. The internet goes down and everybody just melts right on down. Oh my gosh, it was just one company, but it affected hundreds of big, huge companies. These little teeny pivot points or choke points or whatever you want to call it, train switch ideas are so critical. All right, I digress. We'll get back to news that networks refuse to use in a minute. But I mentioned to you that we're going to be playing interviews from Red Pill Expo for the rest of the week, the best we can here. We've got another interview. It's from a lady by the name of Mary Margaret Stratton. She's the author of a book called Kiss Addiction Goodbye. They call it a 12-stage or step diet to help people with addictive or compulsive behaviors. 12stepdiet.com is the website. Here is Mary Margaret Stratton. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman continuing live from Red Pill Expo 2021 in South Dakota. I'm telling you right now, Saturday and Sunday, full of speakers, full of incredible knowledge. Americans waking up everywhere. No masks. It just doesn't get better than this, ladies and gentlemen. People hugging people, being friends, making relationships. I mean, come on. You got to dig it. Redpillexpo.org. If you missed it, you've only half missed out. You missed out on all the camaraderie and the fun and the good times and the people loving and spending time with people and everything else. But you didn't miss out on the expo because there are streaming options available now. redpillexpo.org. $45 gets you 30 days. You can watch all the presentations. You can share it with your family. It doesn't get better than that. Why? Because we love you. Mary Margaret Stratton is with me, my next guest. She's an author of a book called Kiss Addiction Goodbye, 12-Step Diet to Aid Recovery and Help People Heal Addictive Compulsive Disorders and Behaviors. 12stepdiet.com. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me here.
All right. So can I just call you Mary or what?
Well, my nickname is Anand. All my friends call me Anand, so you're my friend.
I appreciate it, Anand. I'll try to remember that, but I probably won't do well.
Or Eminem. I go by Eminem for short.
All right. Do you rap to Eminem? No?
Yo, no.
All right. Just wondering. So let me understand then, why are you an expert in this, and how did you begin to create a book like this?
Well, I'm a lay person, first and foremost.
Which means you're an expert. Everybody else that say they're experts are ignorant, but go ahead.
Certainly. My journey began where I was dealing with what's called a process disorder. I suffered from a thing called self-injurious skin picking, which is a kind of a nasty thing to have to share with people.
And so there's two things here going on, though, right?
I was saying this was an addictive behavior that I suffered from.
The skin thing.
And at the same time, I'm married to an alcoholic. So between those two different scenarios, I was always searching for healing and searching for ways to find recovery.
All right. Before we get there, tell me about the process part, though.
The process part. Oh, do you mean the what I experienced?
Yeah.
So I would have an obsessive thought about something that would make me feel anxious. And so
the thought would just persist?
The thought would persist, yes. And my way to alleviate that persistent thought was to go to the mirror and pick at my face.
Okay.
And that would sometimes last for hours and hours on end. And it was, and then when I wasn't there, if I was in a situation where I couldn't be touching my face in front of people in a business meeting or what have you, I would still ruminate and obsess over, a way to get that fixed to make me feel comforted again.
And did that feel normal to you, or did you know that it was a problem?
Oh, I knew it was a problem. I mean, every time you look in the mirror and you see blotches all over your face, you know it's a problem.
Sure. Okay, so you're experiencing that. You're struggling with your alcoholic husband.
Yes.
Which was worse?
Oh, that's a tough question.
Because neither are very...
Neither are pleasant.
Pleasant, yeah.
probably my husband, because, is a person I love very dearly.
Yes.
When you see somebody that you love suffer, it's almost worse than having suffering yourself when you see somebody else. Yes.
So did one cause the other?
No, I suffered from this disorder prior to us getting married.
Okay.
So,
yeah. All right. Go ahead.
All right. So
you have these two serious, I'm going to call them rocks in your life.
They are rocks, and rocks are meant to be climbed over, I believe.
Yes, or removed.
Or removed. And I have a friend, my friend John Kohler, calls them not crises or problems. He calls them opportunities. And I like to look at it that way as well.
They are, if you have the right attitude.
Absolutely.
Just
absolutely.
So you know, I've studied psychology a bit, if you can't tell.
Yes, I can tell. So I'm also an artist. I was doing an art show in Palm Springs, and I confided in the gallery owner's son, who was a really smart young man, and he said, you should eat this book. You should read this book called Eating for Beauty. And I read the book, and it was all about raw food nutrition for becoming a healthier person. I read the book, and something clicked in me, and I said, well, that's I'm trying everything else. Why don't I try this? So it was a matter of about 3 or 4 months after applying the dietary principles of that book that I started to notice not only was my skin not breaking out like it used to, the obsessive thoughts were going away. And I was like, wait, I haven't gone to...
Obsessive thoughts are going away.
Yeah. I haven't been to the mirror in about a couple of months. This must be working. I need to know more. So that brought me on a journey to really... just dive into the deep end of understanding nutrition and biochemistry, and then sharing that information with my husband as well, who was dealing with the alcoholism.
Now, are you still with your husband?
I sure am.
Is he an alcoholic?
He is a recovered. He's in recovery.
So yes, he's an alcoholic. But if you're in recovery, though, that denotes the change we're talking about. So
certainly,
I'm not interested in discussing his being an alcoholic. I'm interested in discussing his change and his recovery and his sobriety and success is what I'm interested in.
Sure. You can talk to him about it if you want, but I have his permission to share some of his story. So.
Okay. So, did you guys, you got this solved for you and then worked on him secondarily?
Yes.
And he just thought, you know what, if she can do this thing, there might be something here to help me?
Yes, that's correct.
Or was he resistant and angry at first?
Oh, no, no. Because he has been searching for recovery for a very long time as well.
Okay, so very few alcoholics will admit and realize and they're searching for solutions, right?
Yeah.
So this is a huge step that he's made that many haven't made yet, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, because that's important, the want to change part, right?
Oh, yeah. It's the first step of AA in 12-step programs. You have to realize that there is a problem and something needs to change.
And is that where your 12 diet thing comes from?
It is. In fact, the cover of the book is an homage to the very first edition.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the middle of an incredible interview about addiction. Mary Margaret Stratton, my guest at Red Pill. Her book, Kiss Addiction Goodbye. Her website, 12stepdiet.com. The numbers, 12stepdiet.com to learn more. Back in a flash, interview continues in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things, and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Mary Margaret Stratton, my guest. 12stepdiet.com, the website. We're talking about Kiss Addiction Goodbye, her book. Mary continues.
The Alcoholics Anonymous big book. And don't get me wrong, I am a huge proponent and I love AA. It's a beautiful program. It helps a lot of people. It has helped me personally. However, I observed over the years of seeing my husband becoming a retread, which is what they call somebody who falls off the wagon a lot, that there were pieces of the puzzle that were missing from that program, from my humble opinion. And part of that piece of the puzzle.
Well, from your humble opinion, but also from seeing the reality of
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So it's more than opinions, what I'm getting at.
Yes, thank you. You know, AA and NA and OA, they get you thinking a different way. They focus on the spiritual aspect of recovery and getting people to be willing to have a higher power in their lives. But then people, you know, they go to a meeting and then they go out and they down a coffee and they eat really bad food, donuts and fried foods, and they're not seeing that there's a connection. And, oh, yeah, and smoking, you know. They go out and, like, light up a couple of tubes at meetings sometimes, and they don't see the connection that those toxic habits may be thwarting their future recovery and setting them on a path for a relapse.
And really what you're getting at is, in our chemical-based society, there are so many things in foods and in the environment and everything else that literally changes the chemistry of your brain that makes it, in some cases, impossible for normal steps to work.
You are so smart.
Oh, wow. I was just thinking that might make sense, you know? And so these people are good people.
Yes.
Many of them are wonderful people.
Yes.
But they lose the ability to have mind over matter, or their spirit control their body is another way of saying it, because of these substances, in many cases designed by evil men and women for that very purpose.
Amen. I agree. I believe. And that's part of the reason that we came here to the Red Pill Expo to share our book, because, you know, they, in, you know, air quotes, yes, want us to remain depressed and distracted.
And dysfunctional and destroyed.
Yes, sir. And so, and addiction, that is the doorway to distraction and dysfunction.
So does your book cover your experiences? Does your book cover how to heal and how to come out of it? All the above? Give me an idea.
D, all the above. In the book, I do relate, at the end of the book, we actually share each of our individual stories and how, you know, how our roads to recovery happened.
Each, meaning you and your husband.
My husband and I, yes.
Yep, okay.
And in fact, this is a little fun sidebar. My husband and I actually wrote this book together, and we were on the board of a phenomenal group called the Alliance for Addiction Solutions, and it's a great group of doctors and therapists and lay people who are trying to share the information about the nutritional and nutraceutical aspect to healing addictions. And right before we went to publish, my husband had a relapse. And we discussed it, and he said, you know what, if we're going to put a book about addiction out, my name probably should not be on the cover. And so we actually share this story in the book, that, to be completely frank, that, you know, there is no single pill to help people with addiction. It's a multifaceted approach. It is a mind, body, spirit approach. And you just have to hit it with all the different modalities that you can in order to find recovery. And sometimes that path is not a smooth, straight path.
It is a daily commitment, a daily quest. And one of the keys to the exercise is to insulate yourself by being surrounded by people that can help you not relapse.
Absolutely.
People don't understand that. And that's a little bit of the problem that I have with AA and some of these other things. They bring all the alcoholics in a room. What they need to do is bring a bunch of people in the room that are not alcoholics to surround the recovering person to give them an insulation.
I like that.
Right? And I don't mean to down anybody else who's struggling. I'm just saying they don't belong together because they can't help each other at this point. Now, I'm not saying they never can, but I am saying that you need to get them surrounded by people who can watch and guard and support. That support network is all critical.
Certainly, and that is the essential principle of most 12-step programs, is you get people who have found long-term lasting recovery, and it you know, the point of AA is to have one drunk talk to another, and hopefully the first drunk that's talking to the other drunk is a successfully recovered alcoholic. So they have, yes, been there, know what the animal is that they're dealing with, and then can surround them and support them with recovery and sobriety.
So how long have you had sobriety for your condition, your circumstance?
Oh, my gosh. Well over a decade.
All right. How about your husband?
My husband is fresh back in recovery this year. Less than a year.
God bless him.
God bless him. He keeps coming back.
I'm going to give him one bit of advice. Never give up.
Yep.
I don't care how many times you relapse. I don't care if it happens,
yep,
again.
Yep.
I'm not saying I don't care. What I mean by that is I do care. I'm saying that I don't care in the sense that I want you to keep it up. I want you to keep after it, keep after it, keep after it, because every day sober, every day with sobriety is a good day.
Yep.
And a relapse means a couple of bad days in the middle. Satan and the enemies of liberty would want you to believe that it's curtains. But every day you get up and keep after it, there's fresh hope.
Yes, sir. And I'm actually glad you brought up the S word, because I actually have a theory about addiction, and specifically with the approach that I'm taking with a more nutritionally oriented approach. I think that a lot of addiction is born out of dysbioses in the gut, in the microbiome,
yes,
and where there are parasitic entities that happen to look like little snakes. And if you understand that the microbiome is directly related to your brain through the gastroenteric system.
It's what decides what chemicals get sent where, right?
Exactly. So, you know, there is a very strong aspect of potential satanic influence,
yes,
through
is.
The gut that is absolutely a very strong factor in keeping people in the addiction cycle.
And by the way, that's why, just so you know, from a DNA point of view, that's why you can inherit tendencies to things through your mother and father. If you have generations of addicted people, you inherit those leanings, those tendencies. I'm not saying you have no agency, but I'm telling you that that's why when one person takes a drink, they can never come back, if you will, or they almost can never. Whereas some people can drink for a bunch and it never affects them. These chemicals, these realities in the gut, believe it or not, are passed down from generation to generation. I don't know if you know that.
Absolutely. Actually, I do refer to the work of Dr. Kenneth Blum,
all right,
who was a phenomenal researcher, and they were finding the genetic cofactors for addiction back in the 1990s, even maybe as far back as the 1970s, and
yeah,
they did find a genetic factor. And since then, he was actually one of the people who followed him, Julia Ross, who runs a clinic in Northern California. She wrote a really great book called The Mood Cure, and it was based on his work. And there absolutely is a genetic component. However, as you just mentioned, there are epigenetics. We can do things above and beyond what are, you know, we're given this hand of genetic, you know, propensities, but we can make changes to those propensities through our actions, our thoughts, and our beliefs.
And our decisions,
yes.
Yeah. You didn't think I had a little bit of an idea about this.
Oh, wow.
All right. Incredible book, ladies and gentlemen. This stuff is for reals. This stuff can change your life. I'm not telling you it's just a read the book and you're cured deal. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that the principles taught, the understanding gained, the nutritional reality on tap. First thing you got to do is dump sugar, huh?
Yeah, it's one of the hardest things to dump.
I know, but it's the first thing you got to do.
You know, the first step is the first step, and that is to realize that there's an issue and to just accept and love yourself through it all and just start making changes no matter what you do.
Amen. I just mean from a dietary point of view.
Sure,
so
sure.
So tell me diet-wise, what do you need to have? What's the deal?
Well, actually, in the book, I, based on the work of Blum and some other very smart people, I share different profiles of, you know, what kind of deficiency symptoms you might be showing in your life.
In other words, what you're saying is we can trace addictions
to
we can backstep
you
that
absolutely
and say,
can.
Hey, this diet, we can tell why these people do these things,
uh-huh,
and gravitate towards these things, and we know it feeds it.
Yes. For instance, like if you have, you know, a perfectionist personality, or maybe you crave crazy experiences jumping out of airplanes, or,
yeah,
you know, maybe you're experiencing a need for comfort. There's different profiles. And then what are the substances that you use to comfort yourself or to get relief from those symptoms,
yep,
to self-medicate? And then from there...
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, great broadcasting, interviews with educated people at Red Pill Expo. Just fun. Just good work. Just necessary stuff, right? All right, quick pause. We'll come back, finish that interview, and then I got a whole lot of news the networks refuse to use. It's a little bit of an I told you so. I hate to bring this up, but I've got to, since I hammered on the other side so hard. We'll tell you about it.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden leaves for the United Kingdom on Wednesday, kicking off his first foreign trip as president. The G7 summit starts Friday. Democrats on Tuesday nominated former Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe to face Republican Glenn Youngkin in the state's November gubernatorial election. Mr. McAuliffe jumped into the primary in December as the one to beat.
But let me tell you, folks, the road ahead is going to be long. It's going to be tough. The remnants of COVID are going to be with us for a long time. We have to build back a better, stronger Virginia.
Mr. McAuliffe beat four Democrat candidates to win the nomination. Houston Methodist Hospital on Tuesday suspended 178 employees without pay for 14 days for failing to comply with its COVID-19 vaccine requirement. The Texas Hospital CEO, Mark Boom, said that nearly 25,000 workers had been vaccinated against the virus by Monday's deadline. We are USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Alaruth for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals. Bail out broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Alaruth Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
A survey was done to study who is still wearing masks now that the COVID-19 vaccines have been administered to most American adults. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Fewer Americans are wearing face masks to protect against getting or spreading the coronavirus. A new Gallup poll found mask wearing is down among all groups since the CDC relaxed its masking guidelines last month. 79% of people surveyed say they've worn a mask outside their home during the past week. That's down from 86% in April and 90% every month from July 2020 through March of this year.
Pfizer Incorporated announced Tuesday it will begin testing its COVID-19 vaccine in a larger group of children under age 12. The study will use up to 4,500 children at more than 90 clinical sites in the United States, Finland, Poland, and Spain. Pfizer said it will test a dose of 10 micrograms in children between 5 and 11 years of age and 3 micrograms for the age groups 6 months to 5 years. USA Radio News.
All right, back to you live, ladies and gentlemen. We are in the middle of this Red Pill Expo interview. Mary Margaret Stratton talking about addiction. Kiss addiction goodbye. 12stepdiet.com, the website. The interview continues.
You can trace back to specific neurotransmitters that are missing within your body chemistry, like serotonin or GABA or what have you. And then you can figure out, you can take nutraceuticals for that. And instead of pharmaceuticals, you
and
can
nutraceuticals, ladies and gentlemen, are herbal formulations that relate to strengthening specific deficiencies.
Yes.
I don't know how to describe it better.
No, that's perfect.
All right.
That was wonderful.
Keep going.
So, for instance, if you're low in serotonin, you can increase your uptake of tryptophan.
Yes.
And you can do that.
Like me, I'll start snoring, but I'm with you.
So the piece of the puzzle that I feel that this book is very revolutionary for is that up to this point, they've been talking about amino acids in terms of a big hunk of meat or, you got to have this protein.
Yes.
And that's how you're going to get your protein, your amino acids. But I said, let's look at the actual nutritional content of all foods and specifically easier to digest foods such as plant-based foods. And so I went through each of those profiles and each of the nutraceuticals that might be missing and said, here's the plant-based, easier-to-digest foods that you can take to help boost your serotonin levels or your GABA or
and
what have you.
And that's in the book?
And that is in the book.
All right. So it's not only a book to read to kind of learn about stories, learn about the history, understand the fundamentals that we've been discussing, but it's also a little bit of a you can look at this and apply it to a specific need per se as well.
Absolutely. I have some, you know, I have some charts in the very beginning. There's a little bit of a workbook to this as well.
It's, sure.
You know, there are opportunities for people to figure out what are the environmental factors that they are dealing with. And, you know, really, people don't necessarily think of, you know, a cell phone signal being a contributor to addiction.
But it is.
But it is, exactly.
No question.
You know, and, you know, so from environmental factors.
Literally, some of those signals derange the brain's normal synapses firing as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I digress. Anyway.
Yes.
this is serious business, ladies and gentlemen. It's nothing to joke about. It's 12 steps is the kind of idea, right?
Yes.
And she used 12stepdiet.com to make it easy for people to get the book and learn about it. But it's KISS. Addiction, goodbye, the 12-step diet to recovery and healing. Is it just food? Is it food, exercise, spiritual? Do you go into it all?
I do. And actually,
this is a massive book, huh?
It is. It's a massive book, and I wanted to share everything that I could think of to share because, as you said, addiction is a serious issue. You know, I have dealt with my own addictive propensities, as I said, and my husband, I've seen the sorrow of what he's had to go through. And then this past year, especially with the system shutting down absolutely all forms of recovery, you know, all the 12 steps.
It's actually criminal.
It is criminal. They shut down all 12-step meetings. We saw so many relapses this last year because people didn't have their support groups to go to.
Yes, that's why I highlighted that support piece so much.
Yes.
Because it is one of the grand keys. I'm not saying it's the only one, but it is a grand key to the exercise.
Yes, and one of the things that I've actually noticed since they got everybody in this fear-based modality, that at the end of a meeting, normally people hold hands and say the Lord's Prayer or a serenity prayer. And because of the fear that they've instilled in people, people aren't holding hands. And
I say hold hands and trust Almighty God.
Absolutely. And understand that there's an electromagnetic thing that happens between our heart energy. When we hold hands and form a circle, we increase that healing energy between all of us.
And when you create a prayer circle like that, when people are praying too, you send messages that are answered.
Yes. When two or more are gathered.
Amen to that.
Amen.
All right. So I want to talk about sexual addiction for a second, too. Is that included?
I did not go into sexual addiction, but you could apply it because with the profile that is more like the adrenaline junkie.
Yes.
Would be some usually risky behavior. You know, I said jumping out of airplanes, but an adrenaline junkie type person would probably fit into the sexual addiction.
You know, some of the
addiction.
Need that you mentioned for attention or need that you mentioned for, I can't remember the word you used, touch or a need for?
Contact?
Contact. Anyway, you said some other word. but anyway, those things relate as well.
Yes. Yes. I mean, if you're addicted, if you're finding your, again, the like video gamers, they're adrenaline junkies. They need to get that, you know, constant, like, in my face, I need to kill some people, or, you know, whatever it is they're doing, you know?
But it does stimulate certain sections of the brain, and we can literally trace it to reality of when we feed certain foods to the body, what happens, and we can watch those pleasure centers, and we really have traced and mapped this out. It's very scientific to this point. It's not just guesswork, and it's not mojo, goofy stuff.
It is not.
It is real.
It is absolutely real. There are scientific studies that back up all of this as far as the neurotransmitter connections to specific addiction types.
Mary Margaret Stratton, ladies and gentlemen, author of KISS Addiction Goodbye, 12stepdiet. com to learn more. Thank you so much.
Thank you. What
you
a pleasure.
You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Yes, you are, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, no doubt about it. Moving right along, very interesting tidbit here. Listen to this. This is an I told you so, and I don't like to run around saying I told you so, but in this case, I must. You know, everybody told me, oh, Bitcoin is the next thing since sliced bread. This is incredible. It's all safe and secure. Don't worry, Sam. There's an open source bit chain or blockchain bit, whatever. And, it's all transparent. You can see all the transactions, Sam. It's stable as a rock. How dare you speak against it? And I spoke against it. And I told you it is not as safe as you think. Do not dip your toe in the crypto. And I told people that over and over and over. And it took a little bit for me to get pay dirt on this one, but I'm telling you, my technological savvy comes to bear once again. Here is the headline, you naysayers. Bitcoin's value declined by over 10% on Tuesday after the United States government announced that it recovered $4.4 billion, no, million dollars, of the cryptocurrency from the hackers of Colonial Pipeline. All right, did you hear what I just said? The U.S. government recovered $4.4 million of the cryptocurrency paid to hackers of Colonial Pipeline. Now, how did that happen? They say this newly discovered vulnerability of Bitcoin, which was believed to be beyond the reach of government. Okay, lie. I told you that it was not beyond the reach of government from the very, very start. Everybody argued with me. Everybody said, Sam, you don't even know. Sam, if you just had technical knowledge. Sam, if you just understood bit chain or, you know, blockchain or whatever you want. Sam, it's transparent as all get out. You don't even know. But they say it caused a massive sellout, driving the token's market value down. Now listen up, you naysayers. They say, quote, we identified a virtual currency wallet that the dark side actors used to collect the payment from the victim. FBI Deputy Director Paul Abate said at a Monday press conference. So they identified the wallet. Victim funds were seized from that wallet, preventing the dark side actors from using them. The DOJ, they say, has recovered the majority of the $4.4 million ransom Colonial Pipeline paid to the hackers. Wow, okay? That's according to U.S. Attorney General Deputy Lisa Monaco. So the DOJ recovered it. They found a wallet. The fact that the FBI managed to trace the untraceable and seize it is a concern for libertarians, and they say then anti-government people, around the world, because people are saying, wait a minute, how did that happen? Ladies and gentlemen, I told you this from the very start. Don't dip your toe in the crypto. Your government has a backdoor to that. If they didn't, they would not let it continue. Remember I told you that years and years ago? I said, you know what? This is bogus. The government's got a backdoor. If they didn't really have the ability to control it and manipulate it and do whatever they want with it, they would not let us have it. They would riot. The government would absolutely crack down. That's why they cracked down so hard on gold and silver people that call their money money. Because they know once we get a real money supply that is outside of government, they lose control. But with Bitcoin, they still maintain control. So you've got this massive hacker dark side group that literally hack. What's going on? They hack the Bitcoin. So this pipeline thing, they got paid. Everybody says you can't find them. You can't do anything about it. You can't stop it. The government just found the wallet and took the money. The government blatantly admits this. How does this happen to all you educated techies out there? Maybe you ought to listen to me next time, huh? Liberty Roundtable Live.
To leave a message, press 1. To change your message, press 7.
Hey, Mom, Dad, Mark here. Wow, I love college, really. I never knew living on my own could be so, good for me.
To change your message, press 7.
So, here I am at college. It's cool. Well, of course, it's only been a week.
To change your message.
Hey, it's me. I was just remembering that time I hit my first home run, you know, through the garage window. Thanks for not being mad. No.
To change.
Hi. Boy, I miss you guys. I miss my room. I miss waking up to warm socks straight from the dryer. warm socks.
Family, isn't it about time?
Hi, it's Mark. Love you guys. I'll call you later.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, you just can't make this stuff up, okay? I told you don't dip your toe in the crypto. I told you that government had a backdoor to it. If they didn't have a backdoor to it, they would have never let it grow and flourish to the point that it has. Millions, billions of dollars in these currencies. And the government doesn't like, let me say this again, the government doesn't like, let me say it one more time to be very clear, the government does not like counterfeiting competition. And so if Bitcoin did not have a backdoor, they would never let it flourish and let us have a barter system, quote, off the grid, out of their purview. Okay, that's how I knew that it was hackable and that they had a backdoor. I also know that everything is hackable and everything has a backdoor. Okay, because I'm a tech guy and I know this stuff. And everybody said, you don't even know what you're talking about, Sam. You know, come on, if you just... But now they're blatantly admitting, your government, blatantly admitting, Bitcoin's value declined over 10% Tuesday after the U.S. government announced that it had recovered $4.4 million. How did they get it? They literally found the wallet. They used the back door. They took the money out of the hackers, the dark side hackers account. Boom. Now, I don't mean to just be so crazy on this, folks, and be so cocky, but I'm telling you, these things are predictable as the day is long. That's why I spend so much time on it. Now, this hacked CEO, his name is Joseph Blount, or Blunt, I don't know how you say his name. But anyway, this CEO of this pipeline group, chief colonial executive, is grilled by Senate's panel over pipeline hack. All right, here's what he said. Our password was strong. It was a complicated password, he says. Well, I appreciate that, buddy. But look, so you got the pipeline hacked. Supposedly it had a strong password, but a single password. It didn't have two-factor authentication or anything else on it. They had to blatantly admit in the congressional testimony querying down of this guy, this CEO testifying. Okay, so it was not very strong, even if it had a good password. But what you got now is this whole story coming out. How did the pipeline get hacked? Who did it? Well, they say this dark side hacker group did it. They're the ones that got paid by Bitcoin. And the government was able to discover who the group was that hacked it. Then they were able to discover that they had a Bitcoin account that was tied to this group. And then they literally went in and took the Bitcoin from the hackers. Now, let me stop you right there for one really important second. Listen to what I'm saying very, very, very clearly, all right? When the government tells you, by golly, we don't know who is tampering with our elections. We don't know who did this or did that on the internet. Golly, we can't find the Russian spies that did this or looked into that, or, you know, we don't know who the WikiLeaks hackers were who got the emails on the Democrat Party, and we don't, maybe it was Trump, maybe it was the Chinese, maybe it was the Russians, but we're not really sure. And okay, I'm telling you right now, write this down. Write it down five times so you don't forget it. They lie to you, ladies and gentlemen. Look, the internet was built by the Pentagon with dark government money, black funding, if you will, in bed with the universities, in bed with big tech companies. I've told you this 1,000 times. In fact, James Corbett, who was at the Red Pill Expo, I guess he wasn't there physically, but he did a presentation there. Anyway, James Corbett and others have reported on this extensively, and they've created videos helping you understand the CIA, the Pentagon, the black op money, the corporations built up to partner with InQtel and others, private sector businesses that are compromised, along with universities where top talent is found. They all have partnered for this. The internet's not built. I know you believe the internet's built on anonymity, but that's a lie. The internet was not built on anonymity at all. And the idea that they can't discover who you are or can't trace you down or track you down is absolutely bogus. I remember reading a book. It's a reality tale. A guy by the name of Kevin, somebody wrote it, but it's called Ghost in the Wires, okay? And he tells his personal story about how he was a hacker and eventually how they eventually closed in on him and hunted him down and found him, and he went to prison. But it's an incredible reality check story. It's called Ghost in the Wires. Kevin something Sipnick or something like that. Anyway, all I'm telling you is the idea, ladies and gentlemen, that the internet is designed for anonymity is a flat-out lie from the pit of hell. All right, this hacked CEO, Joseph Blount, thinks his password was strong. Who really hacked it? Was it the dark side? Was it the government? Who knows who really hacked it? We don't know, but the government certainly knows. And I wouldn't be surprised if this was a false flag, so the government could literally lay out before you and I and everybody else that, hey, man, the government has the keys to the kingdom when it comes to the internet. They built it in bed with black op money, universities, and business. And this high trifecta tyranny has been built, and it's coming to bear. Now, you and I are using it for our own purposes, and that's wonderful. Okay? But I'm telling you that Bitcoin's value declined literally 10% because of this whole scandal. Because the hacked CEO got hacked, they shut down the pipeline, they had to pay a bunch of Bitcoin to get it back. Now the government admits they literally beat the other guys at the game. I'm just telling you, wow, right? That's a really, in my opinion, critical story when it comes to who controls the internet, who's who, etc., right? Okay? Don't be deceived on this, folks, okay? And I'll give you another example. I don't even know what to call this thing. But there is a worldwide application that was used. I'm going to call it Drug Bust 101, if you will. Okay? There is an app that people have been using around the world, drug dealers and all kinds of stuff. It's called, a headline about this says, Inside the FBI Scheme That Took Down Gangs. Okay? It's in the New York Post. All right? This is interesting. So these people, these drug addicts and drug dealers and everybody else, would use this special phone app, and they thought they were secure from government. They thought, oh, the government can't get us here or know what's going on here. But it turns out that it was a lie. All right? The government lied. Okay? Inside the FBI's cell phone tracking. The FBI literally created an app. And they say the FBI app exposed triads, cartels, and Middle East crime syndicates. I kid you not. It's a whole video. And it's hard to explain. But the they say how criminal influencers unknowingly aided in a global crime takedown. The FBI encrypted phone app led to hundreds of global underworld arrests. Yeah. Here's what happened. A couple of beers between a few people. U.S. and Australian law enforcement officials ended up with a huge criminal underworld takedown that thwarted dozens of murders, an untold amount of drugs, and led to more than 800 arrests, authorities now said. The operation was dubbed Trojan Shield. The U.S. duped criminals into buying cell phones that had preloaded FBI software on them and exposed all these different people. Is this shocking to you, ladies and gentlemen? It's not to me. Right? This is not news to me. It's news to you. Because you guys don't understand the government. Yeah. They say the cooperation between law enforcement agencies across the globe. What do you think of that? The cooperation between, let's see here. The cooperation between law enforcement agencies across the globe, along with the innovative tactics, was unprecedented. A U.S. prosecutor who worked the operation said, "This was an unprecedented operation in terms of its massive scale, innovative strategy, and technological and investigative achievements," they say. Wow. It's shocking. This was an unprecedented operation in terms of its massive scale, its innovative technological capabilities. Randy Grossman of the Southern District of California said, yeah. The supreme irony here is that the very devices these criminals were using to hide from law enforcement were actually beacons for law enforcement. Long article. Very complicated, technically speaking. I'm putting it on the kitchen table for y'all. But there you have it. All right, I don't know if you know, but the Missouri House passed legislation that would make January 12th Rush Limbaugh Day. Yeah, they had a big old battle about this because some said Rush Limbaugh was a racist and a misogynist and all these things. Others are saying, no, he's an American hero. The battle raged, but the House in Missouri passed January 12th Rush Limbaugh Day. Thought I'd bring that to your attention. Final story before the end of the hour, headline before the second round Utah Jazz playoffs, so the NBA, right? Utah Jazz, $55 standing room only tickets. Now, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm going to bluntly say this. Who in their right mind, ladies and gentlemen, would spend $55 on a standing room only ticket? I don't know how to handle this. I don't know why anybody would even buy these. I get that you want to go to the Jazz game, okay? But standing room only tickets? I don't understand it. $55 standing room tickets. Wow. Expensive as all get out. Standing room only. Maybe we got to focus a little bit more on more important things than a big bunch of, I don't know what you want to call it, children in adult bodies throwing balls into hoops. I'm not saying it's not fun, but I am saying, wow, we've gone to an entertainment low. $55 tickets, standing room only. Amazing. And that's in a very conservative state that should be lower priced than most of the big markets as well. Very weird indeed. 2 hours in the can. Thanks for being with me. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.